Good morning. I wanted to use this and there's no battery. Welcome to First Congregational Church. Whoever you are, however tall you are, we adjust. You are welcome here. We have just a few announcements this morning. I'm going to start with Barbara James. We could probably take this down.
Good morning, everyone. I am here to announce the great excitement of the grand opening of the new Blessed By's location here in this building at our lower level. We had our official grand opening on Thursday. I hope some of you came, and I hope all of you will come at some point. We also want to invite you to come and see what has happened downstairs in the lower level of the church. So after coffee hour, if you would walk through Fellowship Hall and the side door will be open, go down those stairs and then welcome you to, and then we will be there to welcome you to the new space. This has been the effort of so many wonderful, hardworking people, and we want to thank them individually and together at some point. We're not going to do that this morning. But please come and join us, take a look, and see what the efforts of many people can accomplish. It's pretty amazing.
Good morning. I'm happy to continue the good news of the announcements. As you know, our church has a very strong financial foundation. And that's because we've been in Westfield for 347 years, since 1679. And also because so many past members have been generous after they've passed on with the church. And this morning, I want to make an announcement and pay tribute to one of those members who passed away in 2023 at the age of 97. Phyllis Lindberg and her husband joined our church in 1957. She was active in the Women's Fellowship and many other things, and so she served at countless church suppers and Christmas fairs and so forth. And she, in her obituary, she counted among her dear friends, among others, our late and beloved Beverly Gamble. And also in her obituary, she asked that memorial donations in her memory be given to the church. But she actually did much better than that. In her will, this church was one of her principal beneficiaries. And as a result, we recently received a bequest of $590,000, which has been added to our general invested fund. As such, it will add to our annual draw from our investment funds that supports our church budget. While few, if any of us, can match Phyllis Lindbergh's generosity, all of us can certainly consider, including the church, in future plans. So, no matter how large or small the amount. So, toward that end, Ray Saloy, the chair of the stewardship committee, and myself will include an article in our newsletter in the coming months to discuss some of the options that each of us might consider for the future. But for today, let us give thanks in our prayers to Phyllis Lindbergh and to the countless others in the past who have remembered this church with their generosity and therefore have helped us to fulfill our strong Christian mission.
Wow. Top that. On Friday, I had the honor of offering the invocation, or opening reflection, they call it, at the commencement for Westfield State University. So right up there on the screen, I look like this little tiny thing there, but then the big giant screen, Rev. Paul Nesbitt, First Congregational Church, Westfield. So we were all represented on Friday. It was one of the most cool things I've done. I said it's in the top five. So anyhow. It was great to represent you. Are there any other announcements? Let's see. The organ pipes have gone off to Vermont, correct?
One set has, the rest are here.
One set has gone off. The rest of the pipes are here. We're asking people to stay, please. Look, don't touch. If you're looking from afar, that would be great. We want to make sure that nothing gets damaged. That's all. They're very fragile, so we want to take care of them. It is our hope that this organ will be put back together and playing on June 14th. It is our hope. We're not promising anything. Okay? But in the meantime, we'll keep this section closed, and just we apologize to those who sit over there. They don't know what to do. I know, Jim, I know. You have to find a new seat. Let's take a deep breath in. Exhale. And let us worship God.
Good morning. Please join me in the call to worship found printed in your worship guide. We have come to worship God, the living God.
Who calls prophets and teachers to bear witness.
We have come to praise God, the Almighty God.
Who answers voices of hatred and murder in the power of grace.
We have come to worship God, all gracious God.
Who chooses to keep in you and in me, to receive and carry the word of life and hope. All glory to God.
Please join me in our opening hymn, Lord, Speak to Me, from the Blue Hymnal, number 620.
Protector through the wilderness. Pour out your presence.
temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Our first reading is from the chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, where I shall begin with the sixth verse. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in a responsive reading taken from Psalm 68. Arise, O God, and let your enemies be scattered. Let those who hate you flee.
Let them vanish like smoke when the wind dries away, as the wax melts in the fire, so that the wicked perish in your presence.
But let the righteous be glad and rejoice before you. Let them also be merry and joyful.
Let us sing to God, sing praises to the divine name. Let us exalt the one who rides on the heavens. Yahweh is the divine name, before whom we shall rejoice.
Protector of orphans, defender of widows, the one who dwells in holiness.
Who gives solitary home and brings forth prisoners into freedom. But the rebels shall live in dry places.
O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness,
the earth shook and the skies poured down rain. At your presence, O God of Sinai,
at your presence, O God of Israel.
You sent a gracious rain, O God, upon your inheritance. You refreshed the land when it was weary.
Your people found their home in it, and your presence,
you have made provision.
Reading from the first letter to Peter. Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith. For you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Our God is still speaking.
Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading this morning comes to us from the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you have sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave to me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
not pertain to everyone, and I'm looking at you, Mr. Kinney, but almost everyone was happy when the Boston Red Sox finally won the World Series in 2004. Now, there are probably a few Yankee fans among you, too. Yes, Ms. Krause, I see you. And so, who were not happy when the Red Sox came back from a 3-0 series and won the World Series. And however, we became almost nonchalant when they followed this with World Series rings in 2007 and 2013 and 2018. Now, I may have shared with you that Mark and I met in 2004, so we kind of thought that might have had something to do with the first World Series. And then we married in 2007. Well, we realized in 2013 we hadn't done anything great, so it wasn't us. It must have really been the Red Sox. But I digress. The Red Sox were one team with many individual players who, by their contributions, made the team appear as one. It's much like our very own choir, where we have tenors and basses and sopranos and altos who blend and come together to make one joyful noise, even though there are many individuals with their own voices. In today's gospel, again, part of the Last Supper discourses in John's gospel, Jesus prays in the presence of his disciples. They may have interpreted it as an end to their incessant quarreling about their own positions of power, or which of them the teacher loved most. But Jesus prays that they, first of all, may band together to spread the good news. He's also trying to teach them the beginning part of the Trinity, something that's still a mystery for us today. But the message and the prayer of Jesus is still very important for us today. Whatever we encounter, we know that we can be stronger as one. That does not mean, however, that we lose our identity or our individuality. Jesus does not stop being Jesus, and nor does God stop being God, because they are one. Oneness is less about numbers and quantity and more qualitative, if you will. It sounds pretty classy, doesn't it? More qualitative. Jesus and the Father are one because they love and they give themselves to each other. And oneness is a quality of life, God's life. Jesus' prayer for oneness is ultimately that we would be and live like God. Oneness is not about eliminating differences. It's about love. Love is the only thing that can overcome division. Over and over, Jesus tells us this. Our love for God, neighbor, self, and even our enemies reveal our oneness and the measure of our oneness, our God-likeness. And it's love. In love, there may be differences, but no division. We've said this before. God's love knows no boundaries. God loves male and female, rich and poor, dare I say, gay and straight, Hispanic, Anglo. Regardless of who we are, God loves Christian, Muslim, conservative, liberal, educated, uneducated. God loves young and old, heaven and earth, divine and human. God loves the sinner and the saved, the Orthodox, rule followers, as well as heretics, and all are loved fully, completely, and uniquely as each needs. It's that unconditional love that we have spoken of time and again, but need to hear time and again until we understand it and we can fully accept it. There are no boundaries drawn by God between Jesus and us. And if we think God loves Jesus more than anyone else, we've missed the point of the gospel. God loves us the same as he loves Jesus. God loves your neighbor the same as God loves Jesus. God loves our enemies the same as he loves Jesus. And if that is how God loves, how can we do anything less and still call ourselves Christians? I feel that for too long we've dealt with each other through our boundaries, our differences, and divisions. Look where that's gotten us. We need to only look at the world, read a newspaper, or watch the ever-present 24 hours a day, 7 days a week news. When we deal with others through the divisions we label, when we do violence and hunker down, we do these things to sometimes defend our position. Where's the oneness in that? It's true that in John's gospel, Jesus is praying to God, praying to the Father. All of us are going to be, in the large part, the ones to answer Jesus' prayer. We answer his prayer every time we choose how to love, who to love, and where to love. I think it is time we answer Jesus' prayer and deal with one another in love. May it be so. Amen. Let's take just a moment of quiet reflection. Follow the liturgical calendar, the Feast of the Ascension happens this week, and happened this week, and many churches will celebrate that on Sunday, and that's part of our prayer today. So as we come to prayer, we are still, of course, mindful that we may be one as Jesus and God are one. We pray for the needs of our world, world leaders, our country's leaders. Here in Massachusetts, our leaders here and in Westfield and beyond. We pray for First Congregational Church. We pray in thanksgiving for the generosity of others. We remember those prayers that are on our prayer list today. And as we do each week, we remember those prayers that remain in the silence of our hearts. Please pray with me. You are free, Lord, as your ascension has set you free, free from the constraints of human existence, outside the limitations of time and space, free to be here with us now in our worship and fellowship, and free to be with us always. For in your freedom, you have bound yourself to us with a promise. Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of time. We pray, Lord, for those who need to feel you close, who need the assurance of your love, the encouragement of your Spirit. And we pause and we pray. We pray for those who are persecuted, who are discriminated against, who are mocked because of their faith or race or color. We pray for those who are imprisoned, who are tortured, who are exiled because they have fought, struggled, and spoken out for the rights of their people. We pray for those who are destitute, who are hungry, who are refugees because of the selfishness and apathy of the world. We pray for those who are filled with guilt, who are brokenhearted, who are perplexed because a relationship has gone wrong. We pray for those who are feeling fed up, who are in discomfort, who are afraid because they are ill in body, mind, or spirit. And we pray for those who are numbed, who are angry, who are desolate because they have been bereaved. We pray for those caught up in war, in violence, in hatred, especially the innocent victims of these evils. We pray for those in financial turmoil, for those who have lost jobs, who struggle to pay bills, and those who have the power to affect positive change. We also pray in great thanksgiving for for blessings received, for our recent college graduates, for those who will graduate soon, and who have their futures ahead of them. Be with us all, Lord, in our daily struggles as we seek to follow you. Be with us all, Lord, in our periods of doubt and despair, and in our times of happiness, health, and loving. Be with us all, Lord, until that time when in your kingdom of love, our joy will know no end. Amen. Our giving expresses our faith in Jesus Christ and our love for all. In the church, we depend on our prayers for one another and the generosity of our support for the programs that will help us all to grow in wisdom and capacity to serve. And with this, our morning offering will now be received. Through these gifts and through our faithful attention to the tasks you call us to do. We ask this in the name of the risen Lord. Amen. invite you to join with me in the benediction. It's a responsive benediction found in your worship guide. As people of faith, we have gathered for worship.
As people of faith, we now enter into the world.
Go out to share the story of faith, the story of life, with the world around us.
We share faith in word and in deed, in speech and in action.
As we go out to give a living witness, as we go out to testify to God's love active in the world, go knowing that God goes with us, sharing the laughter and the hope, the fears and the tears.